Nelson on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is Friday, August the 3rd, 2007. I'm Dr. Bill Veith, sitting in for the great Robbie Noel. I'm hosting today's program from Austin, Texas. Today I'm going to talk about my favorite topic, money. You are invited to call in with your questions or comments. If you'd like to call in, the number is 1-800-313-9443. Again, if you'd like to call in, your calls are welcome, comments or questions, and the number is 1-800-313-9443. Okay, today's topic is, again, my favorite subject, which is money and understanding the difference between real money and counterfeit money. And it seems like in the world we live in today, there is no real money circulated in any country in the world. All of the countries in the world have a central bank, and the central bank issues credit. They call it money, but it's usually paper currency, and it's issued in the form of credit from the issuer and debt to the person who borrows it, or the government agency that borrows it. And folks, it's my opinion that 99.9% of all the world's problems are because of the false money system of the world. That's the reason we don't really own property. That's the reason we're not free. That's the reason that we're not wealthier than we are, because the monetary system of the world is completely controlled by a small cartel of people, and they're the ones that benefit, and it's to the detriment of the public. And I think we're going to a break now, and I'll get back on this subject when we come back from the other side of the break.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
When that plane finally landed, was okay, we are back. Again, welcome. This is the Robbie Noel Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is Friday, August the 3rd, 2007. I'm Dr. Bill V, sitting in for Robbie Noel, and I'm hosting today's program from Austin, Texas. Let's continue with our discussion of money and what money is and what money isn't. Let me relay a little story to you that just occurred within the last few days. I guess it was two nights ago, a friend of mine called up and asked if he could take us along with one of his lady friends to dinner, wanted to take my wife and I to dinner. And he said that what he wanted to do was kind of get my opinions on the whole issue of money and fiat currency and what I think is going to happen into our economic system in the future. And he wanted to get some ideas on how to invest or how to buy gold and silver and what type of gold and silver should be purchased and how to store it and things of that nature. So my wife and I accepted the offer, and we went to dinner with him. And a fifth person came along that I didn't know was going to be there. And this was a gentleman who, as the discussion progressed, it seemed that he was quite resistive to all of the opinions. The other four of us were all kind of in agreement with each other, and there was one person who seemed to work pretty hard to defend the system that's in place now, the monetary system, the fiat money system. And as we tried to explain some of our beliefs, he challenged them all. And I don't mind being challenged at all on any of these, and I don't think anybody at the table did. But sometimes in the face of proof or evidence, he would still cling to his ideas. And he continued, one of the things he continued to say is that he's tired of people saying that the monetary system, the collapse is imminent. Collapse is imminent. He said, you know, these people have held out for that own the Federal Reserve for many, many decades, and who's to say they can't hold out for many, many more decades or maybe forever. And what I tried to explain to him is that I don't hear very many people saying collapse is imminent, and I've certainly never taken the position that collapse is imminent. What I have said is collapse is inevitable. Inevitable is different than imminent. Imminent means it's going to occur any day now. Inevitable means the system that we have is unsustainable, and so collapse will occur. And the proof of that, or the evidence for that position, is that every single fiat currency in recorded history has always collapsed. Every single paper currency has always eventually reached a value of zero. There are no exceptions. So to believe that the United States, the dollar or the Federal Reserve note, is going to last forever is naive in that it totally contradicts history and historical and statistical evidence. So I think we can all assume that collapse is inevitable. Now, what we all have a hard time doing is predicting when. And, you know, to be honest, it's already held out longer than I thought it would. In my opinion, which could be wrong on this, I think that the dollar will collapse before the year 2012. I wouldn't be surprised if it collapsed tomorrow. But if we treat it as this gentleman is let's not even worry about it. We got a good monetary system in place right now. It's served a lot of people well for a lot of years. Don't worry about it. If you take that position and then collapse does come one of these days, you're not going to be prepared. And you're going to be caught by surprise, and it's going to be very difficult for you. However, if we take the position that collapse is imminent or that collapse is inevitable, which is a more realistic way of looking at it, and prepare as if it's imminent, then we're not going to be caught by surprise. So the kinds of things that I recommend that people do are, one, you know, you've got to satisfy your basic needs. So I think it's important to have a good stock of food that's not going to spoil, in a form that's not going to spoil, a good supply of water, maybe a good water filter system, a lot of other essentials that I'm sure you all have heard from these programs before. And I think start trading in some of your paper assets, stocks, bonds, CDs, even if you have large quantities of Federal Reserve notes sitting in savings accounts, and start buying some gold and silver now. And I think silver is actually a better buy than gold. Start buying it now while it's cheap. And when I say that, it may not seem cheap to you, but the powers that be have been working very, very hard for many, many, many decades to artificially suppress the real value of gold and silver. And they have many ways they do that. And they can suppress the price quite effectively for a long time. However, one of these days, when that system of suppression collapses, then that's when the price in dollars, the price of gold and silver, is going to skyrocket, just like the purchasing power of the dollar is going to take a dive. So, and then the other thing you're going to need is some ammunition and some defensive firearms so that you can protect what you're saving, your food, your water, your gold, and your silver. And if you do just those few things, you're going to be better off than 99% of the world's population. So if we have an economic collapse, or we have chaos coming from a inflating dollar that's going to purchasing power, if you've done these things, then you're off to 99% of the people in the world. So start thinking about that, and don't think of it necessarily that collapse of the dollar is imminent, but do think of it as in terms of collapse of the dollar is inevitable. Again, if there's any callers that would like to call into the show and make any comments or ask any questions, the number is 1-800-313-9443. Okay. Most of you all have probably heard on these shows before of about what the Federal Reserve has done to us since its inception in 1913. Just to recap quickly, in 1913 and until 1933, anybody could go down to a Federal Reserve member bank or a Federal Reserve main bank and could lay their paper currency on the counter, lay a $20 bill on the counter, and get $20 worth of gold or silver. Lay a $5 bill or a $1 bill and get a silver dollar. And the banks were good about redeeming paper, the paper currency, for gold and silver for 20 years. So people became so accustomed to that fact that they would take their gold and silver down and store it in these banks as reserves. They would take it down there and turn their gold, silver in and get the paper currency, knowing, and I say that in quotation marks, knowing that it was always going to be redeemable, the paper was always going to be redeemable for the gold and silver. Well, for 20 years it was. And in 1933, the government said, no more. You cannot redeem your paper money for gold anymore. Now, it was still redeemable in silver, but it was not redeemable in gold. So even gold clauses were taken out of contracts at that time. You could not put a gold clause where you required payment in gold in a contract. Now, think about what they did. Let me give you a kind of an absurd analogy so that you can make the logical connection as to what they did to us. Suppose you drove your car to a restaurant and there's valet parking in front of the restaurant, and you get out of your car and you hand them your keys and you tell them, I'd like you to valet park my car, and they take your car and they give you a little ticket, a little that's redeemable for the car at the end of the meal. Now, the meal's over, and you go out, and you hand them the ticket, and you expect to get your car back. And the guy says, no, we're going to keep the car. You just keep the ticket. Well, we would never accept that because the ticket doesn't have the properties that a car has. It can't get us anywhere. It can't serve as transportation. That's just a little piece of paper. Well, that's kind of an absurd example, an extreme example, I should say, more than absurd, but that's exactly what they did to us with our money. The same thing if you went to a cleaner's and you drop your clothes off at the cleaner's and they give you a ticket to get your with a number on it to get your clothes back. And you go back in, you hand them the ticket and say, I want my clothes. And they say, no, we're going to keep the clothes. You just keep the ticket. I mean, we just would never stand for that in any part of our lives. We would charge them with theft, okay, if we didn't do something else to them first. However, that's exactly what the Federal Reserve, in concert with our government, did to us in 1933. They said, you just keep the ticket, that expired token, that we're calling it a Federal Reserve note, and we're going to keep the gold. And not only that, we're making gold illegal for anybody to even own. They called them gold. If somebody tried to keep the gold in their houses or keep the gold in where they had it, they were called gold hoarders. And the average Joe Q public out there and the government treated them as if they were criminals, doing something bad, trying to hang on to their money. So that's what the government did to us, and they did it gradually. They did it in stages. Because then, see, internationally, foreigners could still redeem their paper dollars in gold. Foreign banks could still redeem their paper dollars in gold. It's just domestically we couldn't. The people of this country couldn't do it. Then, in 1944, along came the Bretton Woods Agreement. And when we come back on the other side of the break, I'll explain what happened there and a little bit more of how the government took all of our money from us, and then we'll get into some other topics.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 15 years, EvenStar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why EvenStar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? EvenStarForLife.com, EvenStarForLife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Into the sky. We are back. Welcome. Again, this is the Robbie Noel Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Bill V, sitting in for the great Robbie Noel. We have a caller. It's Steve from Texas. Welcome, Steve.
Dr. Veets, good afternoon. I've listened to you for a good while here on RBN, and I'd like to say a couple of things before I ask my question. You went on about the Federal Reserve note. There's nothing federal about it. There's no reserve, and it lacks all the essential elements of a note, so it's just a green piece of paper. You also alluded to storable foods. In addition to storable foods, the information given in any of Yul Gibbon's books will help you live off the land. This man will help you... He'll teach you how to eat a pine tree, for God's sake.
Can you spell his name for the audience, please?
I can't do it. You're going to have to guess as best I can. This man's been dead for years, but it's Yul Gibbons.
Okay.
What I'd like to ask you is, quite a while back, I heard you allude to something. I'm thinking months back. I heard you allude to something concerning deposits.
Yes.
And a deposit in a bank might not be a deposit because it is more a loan than it is a deposit due to the fractional reserve system. I asked a banker about this, and it threw him for a loop, and all they could do is just skate around the issue, and I was happy with their non-response. But I was wondering if you'd done any more research on this, because this is in my mind, this is going to it adds a fallacy to FDIC.
Mm-hmm.
Federal Deposit Insurance Company.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not a deposit, then what is insured?
Right. Very good point. Very good question. I've done a little bit more research on it since I first talked about it. It's probably been maybe a year ago on the Robbie Noel Show that I talked about it. I think that may be the only show that I've ever talked about that on.
I was listening.
If you would like me to, I can kind of go over it again, if that's what your call is about, unless you had some other comments or questions first.
Well, no, actually, when I heard you come on, that was the first thing that came to mind, because I've been waiting for the opportunity to speak with you about this and see if you'd gotten anything concrete.
Well, I think the information I have is pretty good information.
Your logic is absolutely logical. You know, it's... I was just wondering, you'd said a year ago, you had mentioned this. I was just wondering if you'd had time to add to your knowledge of this, because anybody that's got a bank account with the collapse of our monetary system, this is going to affect them.
Right. Well, let me kind of expound on that and see. I don't remember, you know, I pick up pieces of information as I go along, so I don't remember exactly what I said or didn't say about it last time, but I can kind of go over it again, and if I maybe I'll be able to add something to it that I didn't have last time.
Sure.
But thank you for that question, and thank you for asking a banker about it. That's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call, and I'll go ahead and explain this. And if there's something I leave out or whatever, and you want to call back, you're welcome to do that.
Excellent. Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Okay. Steve's asked a very good question, and it had to do with what we call deposits. When we deposit our paycheck in a bank account, or if we get money, we sell an item and we deposit the money in the bank account. Is it a deposit? And my research shows that it really is not a deposit. It is a loan to the bank. And here's the logic or the reasoning behind this principle. Let's say I deposit my furniture in a warehouse for storage. I'm going to move to another place, and I want to store it for a while. Does the place where I deposit my furniture, does the furniture storage facility pay me? Do they pay me interest? Do they pay me anything for me to store my furniture? No. I pay them for its safe storage. Okay? Now, that furniture is not what's called fungible. In other words, that furniture belongs to me. So it, when I deposit it there, I have complete ownership of it, and I have complete control of it. I can get the furniture. I can take the furniture back anytime I want. Well, according to the contract, I'm sure I might have to wait till business hours or whatever, but I own and control that furniture, and that furniture doesn't get lent out to anybody else without my permission. Now, when you put, let's say I were putting grain in a granary for storage. Well, that depository, that granary depository, they might say, we won't store your, we'll store your grain separate from everybody else's grain, but it's going to cost you more money if you want it earmarked for just you. Now, if we can put it in with all the other grain, what we will promise you is to give you back the exact quantity and quality of that grain. See, these are fungible items. They can all be mixed together. So I don't really have to pay extra to have the grain stored in my own little tank or my own little storage bin. I can let it be mixed in. Everybody's can be stored together as long as if I store 100 pounds of it, I get back 100 pounds of the same quality of grain. Okay, those are so that would be the storage of fungible items. Now, if I were storing a painting, just like my furniture, I pay for the safe storage of that painting, and I want the same painting back. I don't want a similar painting or a approximate painting. I want the same painting back. Okay, it sounds like we're going to another break here, and try to hang on to the concepts I've given you so far, and when we come back from the break, I'll finish on that. Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
We are back. Again, this is the Robbie Noel Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Bill Veith, sitting in for Robbie Noel. Again, today our topic is money, and the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Before we went to the break, Steve in Texas called and made some excellent comments and asked a really good question about the nature of our deposits in our bank accounts. And I had begun an explanation, which I'll complete now, regarding if I were depositing my furniture in for safe storage, that would be considered what's called a regular deposit contract. I own the furniture. I have complete access to it 100% of the time. Now, if I'm putting my money in a bank, supposedly that's an irregular deposit contract, because if I put $500 in the bank, they don't guarantee me they're going to give me back the same $500, but they're going to give me back an equal quantity of money. I might have deposited five $100 bills, and they may give me back my the money in all 20s. So they didn't give me back the same $100 bills, but they gave me back the same quantity and quality. Well, that's an irregular contract, deposit contract, and that's done when the goods deposited are fungible, like grain or money or oil, if you deposit oil for storage, that would be an irregular deposit contract. Now, the fundamental nature of all deposits is the custody and safekeeping obligation. When you deposit something, the depositary is required to maintain custody and safekeeping. Okay, now, in the irregular deposit contract, the obligation to guard and protect the goods deposited, which is the fundamental element in all deposits, takes the form of an obligation to always maintain complete availability of whatever you deposited. Now, this doesn't really occur in our banking transactions. We think it does, and they use the term deposit. Okay, now think about if you buy a one-year CD, you put up $10,000, and you're to get 5% interest over the course of a year, and your obligation is to not use that $100,000 for a year, and you're going to let the bank use it for a year, and you're just going to collect the 5%, the principal and the interest at the end of 1 year. Now, if you try to cash that CD in before its expiration date or termination date, you usually pay a hefty penalty. Okay? So that is a true loan. When you buy a CD, you are loaning the bank the money for a certain period of time. There's no question about that. Now, the part that's a little bit, that's very hazy is, what about a checking account, a demand deposit? We put our so-called our fiat dollars in a deposit, and we expect to get them back. But if everybody went to the bank the same day and ask for their money back out of their bank account, they couldn't get it because of what's called the fractional reserve banking system. So the banks know that everybody isn't going to go get their money out the same day, so they lend out more money. They have more obligations than they have cash in the banks. Now, the Federal Reserve is called the lender of last resort. So if there were ever a run on the bank and in the same day to borrow the money, the Federal Reserve could always just print more money. It might take them a few weeks or whatever, a few days. They could just print more money, or they could send electronic digits to somebody's bank account and get more money in that way, or print the cash to give to people. So that's what's called, you know, the creation of money out of thin air. But because of this fractional reserve banking system, the money really is not available to all of us all of the time. And it's really not there for safe storage, because the safekeeping has been gone. We've seen that with the savings and loan debacle in a lot of areas of the country back in the mid-'80s, where the FDIC went under, and a lot of the savings and loans went under, and a lot of people lost out. And so the money that was deposited was not really safe. So it turns out that what we call deposits in our banking accounts or our savings accounts actually are loans. We are lending that money to the government. And there's a big difference, because when you make a true deposit, if somebody, you know, who, the party that defaults has to pay that back. You are the first in line to get paid back. When you make a loan rather than a deposit, you're not the first in line. Just like if I deposit my furniture in storage and the storage company goes bankrupt, I'm the first in line to get that furniture above everybody else. Okay, but that's not the case in the bank accounts. So these really are not regular deposits, and they're not irregular deposits. They are loans. And that keeps our money at risk all of the time. When you have lent, by consent, you have lent the money to the bank, and you have, we have basically told them when we lend it to them, you can use it the way you want to. That's the difference. When you loan somebody the money, they can use it the way they want to. When you're depositing the money, they can't. And because the banks make other loans and speculative ventures, they engage in speculative ventures, they are telling us that it really is not a deposit. It is a loan to them. And that makes it a lot more risky. So anyway, I don't know if I explained that quite the way you had envisioned, Steve, but if I left something out or you have some comments to add to that, you're welcome to call back. Again, if there are any other callers to the show, the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Okay, going along, continuing with what I wanted to talk about today was, again, when we had dinner with this person the other night, these several people, the one gentleman was having a very difficult time understanding why gold and silver was money and why our paper currency isn't, when we can use either one to consume things. We can use them to purchase things and consume. And so I tried to explain that when you look at the history of money, gold and silver have always become the money that people use when nobody is interfering with their right to use whatever form of money they want. It's almost like money by default. And the kings and the emperors and the dictators and the governments have never had to make people use gold and silver as their money. That's always been the chosen form of money when left when not interfered with. Okay? Now, there are certain reasons for that, and I'm going to go over those reasons. The first of all, there's three things you want in a money. You want the money to be a medium of exchange, something that everybody will accept in exchange for goods. You want it to be a store of value. Now, gold and silver are a wonderful store of value. An ounce of silver 200 years ago would probably buy the same types of things that an ounce of silver would buy today. An ounce of gold today would buy the same types of things that it would 100 or 200 or 300 years ago. Actually, today, because the price of gold and silver have been suppressed for so long now, when they hit their true market value, they'll actually buy more than they would have in the past because of this pent-up store of value that's been suppressed for so long. And when the dollar starts to crater, the gold and silver prices will explode. So you want a medium of exchange and a store Now, is a Federal Reserve note a store of value? It's worth about three compared to what it was in 1913. So it's the Federal Reserve note is not a store of value. Now, the third thing you want in a money is you want it something to be a unit of account. A unit of account. Okay, now, why are gold and silver such good forms of money compared to everything else? Now, if you think about every item, everything in the world, anything, I don't care whether you can think about seashells, rocks, diamonds, think about any conceivable thing that you could use as money. If you rank ordered every item in the world, what's the best form of money, and then rank order them down to the worst form of money. Again, in my opinion, the best forms of money are gold and silver, and the worst form of money is debt. And in this world, that's exactly what gets monetized. We monetize debt throughout this world. Somebody borrows something, the central bank creates it out of nothing, and it's debt to the person that borrowed it, and that's what's monetized in this world. Now, again, why are gold and silver the best? Okay, property number one of gold and silver, they each have intrinsic value, meaning that gold and silver can be used for many, many, many things. In fact, silver is used in literally thousands of industrial uses, uncountable medical uses. Silver is the best antibacterial known to man. It's the best conductor of heat. It's the best has the best reflective properties. It's a wonderful conductor of electricity, might even be the best. Gold may be better in electricity, but there, you know, you can Google on the internet and find out all the different uses of silver. So they have intrinsic value. Now, a Federal Reserve note has no intrinsic value. Its only value is because the government says we have to use it as legal tender. So that means if I pay somebody, offer Federal Reserve notes to somebody, if they give me some product or some substance, they have to take this paper that has no intrinsic value, and they can't sue me because they have to take it by law. That's what legal tender says. So when you pay for something with gold and silver, you are paying your debt. When you pay for something with Federal Reserve notes, you are discharging the legal obligation to pay the debt. Because we can't really pay the debt because we don't have any money. The gold and silver has been taken out of circulation. So, again, the first property of gold and silver, intrinsic value. The second property, there's a certain amount of scarcity, but it's not overly rare. For example, if we wanted to monetize sand, it would be too abundant. So you'd have to carry around big bushels or big bags of sand to pay for a loaf of bread. So you don't want something that's too abundant, and you don't want something that's too scarce. Well, it so happens that gold and silver are neither too scarce nor too abundant. The third property you want is you want something to be non-perishable. Now, is our paper currency perishable? Certainly. It can catch on fire. If you get it wet, you can ruin it. Even our coins, the base metals, if you melt them down, the base metal in it, if it's anything over a nickel, the base metal in it is not going to be as worth as much as the face value of the coin. Now, if you have gold and silver as your money, you can put it on the bottom of the ocean for 300 years, and you won't have lost one bit of value. It'll have the same number of grains of gold or silver that it did before. If you put it on fire and melt it, if it's in a coin shape, it might melt into a blob, but you'll have the same grains or the same amount of gold and silver in weight, so you haven't lost any value. It's completely non-perishable. Now, how many items in the world even have those properties? But there's more. Gold and silver have the property of being fungible. That means they can be divided into smaller units without losing value or combined into larger units without losing value. If you have a big hunk of gold, you can shave off gold dust and you haven't lost a bit of value. That gold dust will still have the same value per unit of weight. Shave off the silver, same thing. Or chop it up into pieces. You haven't lost a bit of value. Or take all those pieces now and melt it and combine it into a big blob. Haven't lost any value. So that's fungibility. Now, if somebody wanted to use seashells or diamonds as currency or as their money, every diamond is different. So they're not all going to have the same value. And if you break it into littler pieces, if you try to make it fungible and break a diamond into smaller pieces, it's lost its value. Same with seashells. Okay, the fifth property. Gold and silver have the ability to be precisely measured. You can measure it in grains. You can measure it in parts of grains. Okay, the sixth property of gold and silver, universality. Every unit is exactly like every other unit, whether coined, shaved, or in any other form. So all gold have the same properties, universal nature. The seventh property, they're malleable. That means you can take gold and silver and you can shape them into a round coin. You could shape them into a square coin if you wanted to. You can shape them however you want. Okay? Now, how many items can you think of have all those properties? The eighth property, gold and silver is portable. You can pick it up and carry it. Bury it in the ground. Store it. Hide it. Do whatever you want with it. Put it in the ocean. Put it in water. And the ninth property is they're recognizable. Gold and silver is always recognizable, or if you put it in the shape of a coin, you can make every coin exactly uniform and recognizable. So if you compare these properties of gold and silver and compare it to every other item in the world, nothing else has all of these properties. The only things that are close would be other types of precious metals like platinum. But platinum is a little bit too rare. But even then, you could still use platinum as money. It could still be used. And copper and other types of base metals are used as subsidiary coinage in our pennies and nickels and dimes, although they don't put even pure content of the base metals in the coins anymore. They mix them up and use the cheapest kind of metal they can get. So these are the reasons why civilizations have always chosen gold and silver coin as its money stock rather than anything else. Now, suppose tomorrow our government said, from now on, you can pay your taxes in popsicle sticks. All of a sudden, they would create artificial value for popsicle sticks. We would all be running around competing to collect popsicle sticks so we could pay our taxes with them. Now, if they further said, not only can you pay your taxes with them, but if you want to pay anything with popsicle sticks, the person selling the item, the service or the product, has to accept them. Has to accept the popsicle. We're going to make popsicle sticks legal tender. So now all of us, there would be this artificial value for popsicle sticks. But it wouldn't be a real value. Popsicle sticks could become money. In a sense, it could become currency. It would be fiat currency. But it would have, for a while, it would have the same properties as the fiat currency we have now. We could use it to consume things. We could use it to pay our taxes. But does it have all of the properties that I just gave you for gold and silver? No. So there are real reasons why the people, left to free market conditions and their own free choices, have chosen the gold and silver as its money system. Again, the call-in number here is 1-800-313-9443. We're going to a break. If anybody wants to call in, I'll take it on the other side of the break.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Again, this is the Robbie Noel Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today's Friday, August the 3rd, 2007. I'm Dr. Bill V, sitting in for Robbie Noel. Let's continue with our discussion of money. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Did you all know that the Constitution grants seven powers to the government of the country, to the Congress? Seven powers, and seven powers only. They're called the monetary powers. And if the Constitution does not grant them anything, any other powers, they don't have any other powers. Well, let me read you a couple of them. I've got them written here, listed, 1 through 7. Number one, the Congress, this is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5, the Congress shall have power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and a foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures. Okay, now, when it says coin money, again, what's money? Well, it was already settled law that money in the colonies was gold and silver coin, period. That was what money was. Nothing else was money. And the only thing that was a dollar, see, the dollar is mentioned twice in the Constitution, the word dollar. It's not defined, and that always bothered me. Why didn't they define what a dollar was? Well, the word year is mentioned many times in the Constitution. The president shall serve for 4 years, some the Senate serves 6 years. Okay, they didn't define what a year was because it was already settled law. That was a standard unit of measurement. Everybody knew what a year was. They didn't have to define it. It's the same thing with the noun dollar. It was already settled law. The colonies had already chosen to use the Spanish mill dollar as its unit of account for its money system. And it was a silver coin, and a dollar, a Spanish mill dollar, it was called a piece of eight. And why was it called a piece of eight? Because eight reals made up the dollar. So when you've heard the little catchphrase, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar. 2 bits was 2 reals. 1 bit was 1 real. Even up till maybe, 10 years ago, the stock market was quoted in eights. They would say such and such a stock closed at $25.78. And I always wondered, why in the heck do they use that? Well, the reason is it was based on the original dollar, which was the Spanish mill dollar that was made up of that was a piece of eight and made up of eight reals. So when we adopted our own money system after the Constitution came into being, and through the Coinage Act of 1792, we set up our own system of coinage at United States Mints, and we minted the United States dollar. It was a silver dollar, and it was equal to the value of the Spanish mill dollar. It was of the value of a Spanish mill dollar. So there's only one thing in the world that is a dollar, and that is a silver dollar minted in the United States, out of a United States mint, having 371.25 grains of silver. Now, at one point we had what was called a gold dollar, but it wasn't really a dollar. The gold dollar said it was to be of the value of a dollar. So we had a gold coin that was equal to the value of a dollar. So the only thing that it has ever been a dollar and is still a dollar to this day is a silver dollar. A Federal Reserve note is not a dollar. 10 dimes is not a dollar. 10 dimes is of the value of a dollar. 4 quarters is of the value of a dollar. There's only one thing that's a dollar. Okay, so Congress had the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof, and a foreign coin and fix the standard of weights and measures. When we come back from the break, I'll try to summarize what that means. That's it? Okay, it sounds like that's it for today. Again, this is Dr. Bill V sitting in for Robbie Noel. Thank you for allowing me to host the program today.
Recent international flight from the